Our scripture lesson this morning is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. And you can find that in your pew Bible on page 72 in the New Testament. He was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial." And he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he answers from within, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. A friend of mine is a poet, and he's also a preacher. And when he writes his prayers, he agonizes over every word. He agonizes over every word, and they are absolutely beautiful. They're works of art. Absolutely beautiful. He got hired by a big church. He's Presbyterian, so their system is different than ours. We're sent. He got hired. He got hired by a big church, and the comment that he kept getting in feedback about his pastoral prayers is that the people kept saying to him, "You know, we want to hear you struggle. We want to hear you grapple in your prayers. They're a little too polished. We want to hear that wrestling with God." And when he told me that, I thought about that, and I thought, well, of course they do. Absolutely, of course they do. You know, it's like Katie said, that, you know, sometimes when we pray, we just don't know what to say. We kind of choke on our words. Other times when we pray, our prayers, we got so much on us, we're just burdened, that our prayers come out kind of like a fire hydrant, you know, just gushing out of us. But in all of that, you know, we struggle. We struggle. We've got all these concerns. We take them to God, and we struggle over that, and we anguish over that. And when he told me that, it reminded me of a story. In my very first church was an Cavanaugh United Methodist Church in Fort Smith, Arkansas. And a big fundraiser for them was the fair booth every year. And the fair booth happened at the Arkansas-Oklahoma Fair at the end of September. And man, we sold the hamburgers. We sold the hamburgers, we sold the hot dogs, we sold the hot apple dumplings. And you have not lived until you had one of those hot apple dumplings made by those women at Cavanaugh. It was absolutely phenomenal. As the heat of summer gives way and the cool of the fall is rushing in, I mean, it was just great. It was just heaven on earth, I'm telling you. I had more than one, I'll promise you. It was absolutely great. So we're in there, and we're working away in the fair booth. And one of the women of the church, her name was Raina. And Raina had a lot of influence in that congregation. And so we're working away, we're cooking hamburgers, we're making hot dogs, we're doing all that stuff. And then out of the blue, Raina just comes out and says, "I'm done with Billy Graham." Now, this is Arkansas. This is the late 1980s. I mean, if you're saying, "I'm done with Billy Graham," that's kind of like almost equivalent to saying, "I'm an atheist," right? I mean, you just don't say such a thing in Arkansas in the late 1980s. You just don't do that. And when she said, "I'm done with Billy Graham," the whole booth got quiet. You could have heard a pin drop. Everyone was waiting to hear what their young preacher would say. The hamburgers just stayed on the grill. They burned. The hot apple dumplings in the microwave boiled over. They were just waiting to hear what their preacher was going to say. And I said, "Raina, what do you mean you're done with Billy Graham?" And she said, "I was watching him on TV the other day, and I saw that he read his prayer from a card. And I figure if a man of God can't say a word of prayer to the Lord from his heart, he's no one I need to listen to." And I said, "Raina, I write out my prayers." And she goes, "I know, and you better listen to what I'm telling you." Unlike what Raina said, you can write out your prayers, and they can be deeply meaningful and deeply powerful. But what you gotta do is you gotta speak them from your heart. You gotta pray your prayers with humility, with genuineness, with all of who you are. You gotta pray it from your heart. You know, God isn't impressed with big words, right? God isn't impressed with lofty theological concepts. You're not going to outthink God. God is impressed with a genuine and humble heart. You're just simply not going to outthink God. God is so different from us. God is so utterly different from us. It was like that guy, one time he was having a conversation with God, and he said, "God, is it true that 1,000 years to you is like a second?" And God goes, "Well, yes. Yes, it is." And the guy goes, well, "Is it true that $1,000,000 to you is like a penny?" And God goes, "Yeah, absolutely." And the guy's feeling really good now. And he says, "Well, God, how about giving me $1,000,000? And God says, "No problem. Just give me a second." God's ways are not our ways. God's time is not our time. God is not impressed with big words, and God is not impressed with lofty theological concepts. This passage of Scripture is so very powerful. The disciples come to Jesus and they say, "Master, teacher, rabbi, teach us how to pray." You know, John taught his disciples how to pray. "Master, teach us how to pray." And Jesus said, "Father, holy be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And do not bring us to the time of trial." Notice the simplicity of it. Notice the beauty of it. Notice the language about kingdom. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Our allegiance, is not to Caesar. Our ultimate allegiance is not to the king. Our ultimate allegiance is not to this political party or that political party. And as Katie said, we should pray for our leaders. We should pray for our leaders. That's in the scriptures. We should pray for all the political leaders, those we like, those we don't like. But our ultimate allegiance is to God. It is, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." Notice the words of the prayer are plural. It's about us as community. Our Father, all of us, all people are God's people. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Notice that it's about community. Notice the beauty of it. Notice the simplicity of it. A hospital chaplain in Texas was giving a tour of the hospital to some college students who were religion majors. The professor had said, "You guys need to go and shadow the chaplain." And the professor had done this kind of to give some legitimization to studying religion, right? Here's actually something you can, now Wall Street won't be calling, but here's actually something you can do with a religion undergraduate. You can become a hospital chaplain. So the professor assigned the students to shadow the hospital chaplain. So she was giving a tour, and she had these undergraduates with her. And also on that tour, there were a bunch of six-year-olds, first graders. And so she's giving a tour, and she's taking them through the hospital, and they go into the chapel. And in the midst of the chapel, one of the six-year-olds raises his hand and says, "Can I pray? Can I pray?" And she goes, "Sure, go ahead." So he closes his eyes, folds his hand, and says, "Dear Lord, bless the food that we're about to receive." Well, that was a great prayer, but it was 10:30 in the morning, and they weren't about to eat. So all that was good, just a little bit early. Then another child raised her hand and said, can I say a prayer in Spanish? And she said, "Of course." And so she prayed. And then another child raised his hand and said, "Can I pray?" And by this point, the hospital chaplain is thinking, "Oh my Lord, how long will this go on and what have I done?" But she said, "Oh, okay, go ahead, you pray." And so he folded up his hands and he closed his eyes and he prayed, "Dear God, please make the sick people in the hospital better. Amen." And at the end of the tour, the first graders went their way, and the chaplain was there left with the college students. And one of the college students said, "You know, I took this tour last week, and I really learned something today." And the chaplain was like, "Great, I gave the tour last week." That's not a ringing endorsement. But she said, "Okay, what'd you learn?" And she said, "You know, I never thought that I would ever hear the voice of God, let alone having it come from a first grader. But today, I did." That child knew something about prayer that sometimes we adults forget. That child knew something about prayer, the beauty of prayer, the simplicity of prayer, trusting in God with our concerns, that sometimes we as clergy forget. Have you ever heard a prayer where the clergy person is going on and he's going, "Oh, great Alpha and Omega," and by the time you get through the middle of the prayer, I'm lost, and I'm a seminary graduate, you know, and you're like, "Where's this going?" Have you ever seen a prayer like that? I mean, they happen. I've experienced it. I've not just been told. I've seen such things. And that child understood the beauty of simplicity, the beauty of trusting God, and the genuineness of trusting God. You know, God cares about us as community, and God cares about us as individuals. God cares about the least, and God cares about the lost. God cares about every aspect of our life. God knows how many hairs we have on our head, or the lack thereof. God knows our concerns. Give us this day our daily bread. God knows our concerns. God knows our needs. And we're to take them to God, See, God cares if we're growing deeper spiritually or if we're stagnant. God cares. God cares, and God wants us to share our burdens with God, to give over to God all of our concerns and our worries, and to trust God that God will challenge us to help us to grow beyond ourselves, to grow beyond ourselves so that we care for others, so that we have a heart for those who are hurting, so that we have a heart for those who are lost. God cares about us, and God wants us to grow. God wants us to grow deeper and deeper into our faith walk. And our faith walk is living a life that's marked by grace and forgiveness. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. There was a brother by the name of Brother Lawrence. And he worked in a monastery. And y'all know I'm familiar with monasteries. And sometimes for people who don't know monasteries, they just see these monks and they go, oh my goodness, how holy these people are. But, you know, if you know monasteries, you know they're just like all of us. They're human, just like we're human. In the monastery, you're going to have somebody who wants to be the peacock. You know, someone who wants to, you know, be the one who's giving the tours around the monastery, or the one who's the spiritual director, or the one who's the abbot. But there was this monk by the name of Brother Lawrence, and he didn't want any of that. What he wanted was to work in the kitchen. And he spent his whole ministry, his whole life in the kitchen, washing the pots, washing the cups, washing the plates, the utensils, everything else. He spent his whole life in the kitchen because he knew by doing that, in that mundane work, he would have more time for prayer. He would have more time for prayer. And in that process of prayer, he became an incredibly holy, deeply spiritual person. You know, God wants us to grow in our relationship with God. And to grow in our relationship with God means that we're going to have to spend time with God. And that means we're going to have to be intentional. We're going to have to calendar this. If you don't calendar it, it won't happen. You got to make a routine for this. You got to say, okay, at this time, all the family's out of the house. I've got 15 minutes here. I've got 30 minutes there. And you schedule that. You make prayer a priority in your life. Because God wants you to grow deeper in your faith walk. And God wants you to spend time with God. And God cares about all of your everyday problems, all of your concerns, and all of your joys. And God wants you to bring all of yourself to God, not to hold anything back. You know, the psalmists tell us and teach us, it's a prayer manual, to take to God all of our anger, all of our hurts. We're to take everything to God in prayer, and we're to say, God, I am so angry at this person or that person. God, I'm so angry at you for not fixing this problem or that problem for me. We're to take all of who we are and give it over to God, because God wants it all. God wants all of that. God wants all of us. God wants us to grow deeper and deeper in our prayer life. Prayer is when we get real with God. We share with God all of our sins and all of our shortfalls. We share all of this to God, knowing that we are trusting God, and we're trusting in God's grace, we're trusting in God's presence, and we're trusting in God's everlasting love. We trust it all into God's hands. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.